It's You Better You Bet with Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on the BetQL Audio Network.
It is a Friday edition, You Better You Bet, right here, BetQL Audio Network. Mark Malusis in for Nick Costos. He'll be back with Ken on Monday, I believe, right? He'll be back with you. We're rolling through, kicked it off, talked a little bit about Ken's insane roulette run to begin the show, then did a little Lakers, Nets, a little NBA, Power Hour coming your way in the third hour of our four-hour program, Nick. Ken, but when you get into NFL win totals, we got some numbers out today. When you look at William Hill, they've released some NFL win totals. Arizona 8, Atlanta 7. Don't have to run through them all here. But when you look at these win totals, Ken, what stands out to you?
I think an important thing for people to – I think a few things for people to understand. First is – and I'm going to do this a lot this year, and I know you and Nick did some NFL win totals last week.
Yep.
Just training your brain to think about things through the prism of a 17-game regular season is extremely difficult. I mean, I've looked at these all day and just almost as a thought exercise to just be like, can I keep looking at them until I remember that it's a 17-game regular season? Because I'll look and I'll see, you know, Tampa 11.5, or I'll see, you know, you look and you see like San Francisco 10, for example. If San Francisco was 10 and a 16, I mean, it was just like I would take out loans to bet the under. I mean, it would just not even be close. But I just, you know, 10 and a 17, okay, does it behave the same way? Like, how is the extra game going to mess with everything, basically? Our team's going to take a different strategy because there's, like, more fatigue and quarterback and stuff. So that's kind of interesting, just being able to look at it and kind of visualize it the right way with the extra game. Did you and Nick have trouble doing that when you did the exercise last week?
No, you know what? Well, I think there was one point in time we were talking about, say, the Giants or the Eagles. And I think, you know, I took the under on the Eagles, and they're sitting at 7 with their win total.
Have that written down? Yep.
Correct, yeah. So I took the under of the Philadelphia Eagles sitting at 7, and I said, you know, I can't see them getting to 7-9 next year instead of 7-10, right?
So it's wild to think of that.
Right. It's gonna take a while. Just like when, you know, the Raiders moved to Vegas and the San Diego Chargers moved to Los Angeles. All of these things, obviously, because you're so trained with certain things, right? You're so trained in, you know, in a normal year, the NBA season being 82 games, the NHL season being 82 games, the baseball season being 162, and the NFL is 16 games. Now the NFL is all of a sudden 17 games, and it's going to be an oddity. It is. I mean, the fact that it's 17, not 18, when you look at the win totals now, the adjustment, and you're right, when you look at them, you have to make sure when you're looking at these numbers, and you're dead right. You brought up a great example with the San Francisco 49ers, because there's no way in hell in a 16-game season that I would bet San Francisco over 10, but maybe at 17, how much does that change your logic? I'd probably still not take the over. I don't think San Francisco is going to go 11-6 next year, but it adds to the discussion and changes the dynamic of the win totals. I'm just curious, when you look at it for San Francisco, you brought up that as an example, Ken. Like, if it was a 16-game season, would their win total be 9, 9.5? I mean, what was the adjustment based on the 17th game?
Well, I think so that plays into a couple, I think, kind of macro things here, right? And one of them has to do with the exact question that you asked. So first thing I always do whenever any win totals come out, and this is like a habit of mine, I add up all the win totals and I see what the number equals. And what you will find in almost every situation is that there are too many wins in the market. There literally aren't that many wins available to these teams. It's a little different this year because it used to be 256, always used to be the NFL number. That was how many, if you added up all the number, you know, add up all the win totals, and you would always get like 261, and you would just know, like, unders are just, if you can find a reason to bet some unders, all of these numbers are kind of, you know, if you want to look at it this way, what, 5 wins across 32 teams. So, you know, every team is like a sixth of a win inflated more than they were. Now, that's not how it works. They're distributed differently and you're not really sure where they are, but there are just kind of extra wins in there that shouldn't be in there. So that makes unders almost inherently, you know, kind of just worth an extra look, right? Like, that's kind of what I'm looking for. If you add these up, the William Hill set that came out, 272 is the new number you're looking for like accuracy and the number of wins available. 277.5 is the set that came out, is the amount of wins that are in that market. So that kind of tells you, like, all right, maybe a couple extra wins in there. Like, if I like some unders, that makes me feel a little better about it. I'm always kind of looking at unders anyway, especially in a certain range for win totals. And then the third thing, NFL win totals when there were a 16-game season, and I, you know, I have all the, I have like all my Excel books and stuff going back 20, 30 years. The tried and true strategy, and this applies to the 49ers, which will help answer your question. The tried and true kind of successful strategy, if you can apply it correctly, is to play teams toward the middle. So if you have teams in a, you know, basically a range from like 5 to 6.5, you would always try to, you know, try to give a, another look to teams over in that range, right? The teams that are expected to be maybe not historically awful, but teams that just the bad teams. Like historically, those are teams that would go over 53, 54, 55% of the time across hundreds of data points. And then at vice versa, if you found teams 8.5 to 10.5, you would be trying to play those down back toward the middle. Like that was always the successful strategy in general. And the percentages kind of bear that out. I mean, you still have to pick which teams, but you could kind of like approach it with that philosophy. And I think you would have a lot of success. If we think about last year, teams like, you know, who went under in that range last year, Dallas, Philly would definitely be two teams. San Francisco, those are all teams that went under in that range last year for sure. So, you know, if you just kind of approach it with that philosophy, that's kind of interesting. So I actually have San Francisco's under written down as kind of an interesting bet, but it's shrouded in a little bit more mystery, Moose, I think, because in a 17 game season where the win totals are, maybe we're not really sure what they should be. Maybe books aren't sure what they should be. Maybe bettors aren't sure exactly what they should be. Will it play the same way, right? Will the nines and tens be historically a little bit more valuable to play back down? And will the fives and sixes be a little bit more, you know, valuable to play back up? I don't know if in a 17 game season, it's going to work exactly like that.
Yeah. It's a great question. I don't know. I love win totals in the National Football League. I love the fact of, you know, you get it after NFL free agency. I love the fact of where it's placed. It continues the NFL conversation. You know, we got the NFL draft, which is what, less than 2 weeks away. So we're inching closer and closer to the first round and all seven rounds of the NFL draft. But it's interesting when you look at that and that's a great, great kind of mental work that you do on it, where you add up the totals and then you look at there's just too many wins in the marketplace. So if you have a very way to go under, or if you have the lean to go under, kind of look for those unders if you can be creative with them. And obviously you got to be right, because not every under is going to hit and not every Chiefs. Over is going to hit. Right.
Chiefs exactly, go over right. all the time.
Yeah. Chiefs go over all the time. And you look at Tampa Bay Buccaneers sitting there at 11.5.
Yep. You know, Saints go over all the time. Seattle goes over all the time. Yep.
Yeah. And when you were out, Ken, last Friday night, Nick and I, you know, went through some over a couple of segments, and you know, one I mentioned, you know, I love the Philadelphia Eagles under 7. I really do. I mean, I know there's some speculation out there that they're still in play for Deshaun Watson with the Houston Texans, which is a storyline that you got to continue to follow. Obviously, what he's facing civilly and all the lawsuits that have been levied against him, but the Eagles remain a team that's interested, involved. Obviously, the Carolina Panthers have moved on. The Jets have moved on to other teams that were heavily interested in Deshaun Watson. So that might change the dynamic of it, but as it sits right now at 7, I can't see the Eagles getting themselves to 8-9 next year. Not where this team is, even, you know, with Jalen Hurts at quarterback, where they are skill position wise, where they are with that offensive line and defense outside of Fletcher Cox. I just don't see it in an NFC East where I think Washington's going to be pretty good. I think the Giants are going to be improved. The Cowboys, as long as Dak Prescott is healthy, they'll be significantly better than where they were a year ago. I like the under on the Philadelphia Eagles sitting at 7.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. And for people out there who are like, you know, are these bets worth making right now? First of all, you're not going to find them in a lot of places. The limits are extremely low right now, but I think it's a great conversation starter for when we start to see bets that we can make. And what are those numbers going to look like? I'm never really sure if my numbers are kind of correct, if my guesses are correct for what I think the market's going to open certain teams at. And I'm always surprised by a couple teams in general. So it's kind of like first thoughts, basically, right? Like I haven't put in these bets. It's not even really worth it for me to like put $50 bets in on these win totals right now in states that I can't even access locally. So it's kind of just like, all right, what stands out, right? So Eagles under 7 for sure stands out. The idea of pushing on 7 with them is insanely attractive. I think they're going to land 7, a reasonable amount. And I think much more often than not, win totals or win values under 7 occur more than over 7. So I think 7 is like a very likely finishing number for Philadelphia. And the fact that you get that as a push as part of an underbet, I think is awesome. I think 6.5 is like a number that makes a lot more sense for them, where I'd really kind of like hit the pause button, maybe a little bit on them. So I agree with you. Yeah. The 7, very attractive number. A couple other numbers I wrote down. San Francisco at 10. This win total set specifically has the NFC West as like apparently they're just never going to lose, even though they play each other twice. I've never really understood how that's possible, but you know, three win totals, 10 or higher, and Arizona's at 8, but I don't understand how that's even reasonable. So San Francisco under 10 of the four teams, that's probably the one that is the most wrong, only because I couldn't even really tell you who's going to start quarterback week one for them right now. And they're at 10 in the market in the most difficult division in the entire league. So that's a little weird one for me. And I'll be curious when I run my own numbers, what I come up with. That stood out as 10. I mean, I think that's a little crazy. So 10, Philadelphia under 7. I'll give you one more, Moose. I'm curious your thoughts on this one. Miami under 9, I think, is kind of interesting. And for the same reason Philly under 7 is interesting, I think Miami lands 9 a lot. And I think with Tua playing quarterback for 16 games, the likelihood of like a supernova kind of nuclear season for them is, I think, very low, honestly. I think they're a very average team. And I get, you know, I have them something like 7, 8, or 9 a lot this year, I think, at my first pass going through it. And if I get 9 as part of their value, like I think they're a team 8.5. I think 8.5 makes a ton of sense for them. One thing to be careful of with Miami, led the NFL in takeaways last year. I said a lot about this last year, where it's just at the extremes, takeaways tend to be pretty predictive year over year about who's going to be better or worse. And Miami was a team that, I mean, by a large margin, led the NFL in takeaways last year, if I'm remembering correctly, and I'm almost positive I'm right. I think Tua as a question mark, a defense that's unlikely to produce that many big plays, and a division that's better. Like, the Patriots are going to be way better than they were last year, and Buffalo's just as good. Like, I think 9 is like kind of, I think 8.5 is kind of the right number in a 17 game season for Miami.
All right, Ken, we have about like 60 seconds here, right? So top totals, KC 12, Bucks 11.5, Packers and Ravens 11, Bills and Rams 10.5. Of those six teams I just gave you, which one of those six would you be the most confident where your totals go under that?
Ooh, under. That's a really good question. Not Tampa. Maybe Buffalo because of the division. Like, we need to see what happens with the Jets and how this kind of all comes together, basically roster-wise. But besides Kansas City, Tampa, Buffalo, who are the other ones in that mix? Sorry.
Ravens and Rams.
Rams, because of the division, would be another thought, where like they could be really good next year and not hit that number. They could actually just be awesome. And because the division's so good, they could win 10 a lot.
We're going to continue the conversation. Joey Knish is going to join the program next. It's You Better You Bet, a Friday edition. Mark Melusis in for Nick Costos, Ken Barkley, of course, on the BetQL Audio Network.